The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you." Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share with you the words of Mary's song of praise from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Here ends the reading. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. Every good mother knows the calming power of a lullaby to help settle a fussy baby, yes? There's something about a mother's voice that can bring a sense of peace or lull, as the word suggests, to help a little one drift off into a blessed rest. And that rest is good for the child and good for the mother as well. It turns out that there is some real science behind the apparent influence of music and a mother's voice on the development of her unborn child. And that power extends to the womb before the child takes his or her first breath in the world. When a mom sings to her unborn child, particularly when she sings the same song over and over, the child begins to recognize the mother's voice, and the singing can actually lower the fetal heart rate and calm the child in utero. Data suggests that even reading a particular story many times to an unborn child can result in a newborn's preference for that story throughout childhood. Goodnight Moon is a good example of that in my life. In other words, a song or a story can imprint a child's mind even before he or she is born. A familiar song or story sung and repeat it over and over again has a lasting influence. Well, Christmas carols are some of the most familiar songs that we sing, and we might imagine that a baby born close to Christmas might prefer those songs over any other, particularly if the baby born close to Christmas hears those songs that her mother sings. In Luke's gospel, the first Christmas carol sung is the one composed by a young mother named Mary, who was suddenly expecting a child. It is a song of praise to the Lord, which we now know as the Magnificat, from the Latin of the first line of verse 47, "My soul magnifies the Lord." But it's also a song that sets the stage for the mission that her divine and human son will undertake. Many scholars, think that Luke placed these words in the mouth of Mary as a way of introducing the themes of his gospel and Jesus' future ministry. Yes, Jesus was divine and clearly had a divine mission. But could it have been the early imprint of his mother's song that reinforced all that he was about to do? Could this first ever carol been the song to which he returned when he was under stress and needing assurance? Despite the opposition, he was doing the work ordained for him from the beginning. You know, if you're waiting for the arrival of a baby, you know it's going to take 9 months, give or take. And that's a lot of time for prenatal singing, isn't it? But the song that Mary sings is a derivation of one that God's people have been singing for a long time, hoping for the birth of a Savior that would come and set things right. The announcement of the Savior's coming went all the way back into Israel's history, all the way back to Abraham. So Mary sings, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." God promised Abraham that from his family, all the families of the world would be blessed. From that family came a nation called Israel, whom God rescued from slavery in Egypt and gave the promised land. There God established a king, David, and promised David that one of his descendants would sit on the throne of Israel forever and establish God's reign of justice and peace, God's kingdom for the whole world. But we know the story. Abraham's family and David's kingdom both crumble under the weight of sin. What could have been beautiful became broken because of their disobedience and rejection of God. The promise of the prophets, however, was one that one day a new king would be born who would topple the powers of sin and death by taking them head on. Now, young Mary knew this story because it was the story of her people. And now, unbelievably, this young mother was going to play a supporting role. The time of waiting was coming to an end. And so, she sang, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." See, that song is designed to magnify or intensify or make brighter what God was doing through her son, Jesus. Remember that when the angel greeted Mary, he addressed her as favored one. And it wasn't that Mary was particularly talented or educated or anything like that. She was in an ordinary place and blessed so that she might be a blessing to the world. We call her blessed because she blessed the world by saying yes to God. "Let it be with me according to your will," to your word. So the blessing that God will work through her will come by way of the son that she bears, God's own son, who will come to save his people from sin, but also to overturn the power structures that had so long held people in slavery. She sings, "His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." What Mary sings about here is the promise of what happens when God occupies the earth as its true king. And if you pay attention to the verbs in her song, they're all in the past tense. Mary sings as though these things had already happened. Such is the confidence of faith. The child whom she carries is God's own Messiah. And this Messiah is actually God come in the flesh, the King who comes and announces in his words and actions that the kingdom has arrived. So Mary sings, even though we know what all of this will cost her. A sword will pierce her soul. She's warned when Jesus was just a baby. She will lose him and frantically search for him for 3 days when he's a boy, because he is about his father's work in the temple. She'll suffer the agony of watching him die on the cross, nailed there by the powers that be. But Mary may not have had all of this in mind when she composed this beautiful carol. And it's quite possible she sang this song again and again when it seemed like things were going horribly wrong for her son. Then again, when she saw him alive 3 days after her death, her song would have meant even more. We sing our familiar Christmas carols too, but we sing them knowing that Good Friday is not far away. We sing them knowing where this child will go and what he will do. We sing them knowing that there is a cross ahead, but also an empty tomb. While the Magnificat may not be on the hot list of Christmas music played on the radio during this season, it is the song that reminds us who Jesus is and what he is about. And it can remind us, too, that we are called to follow him by lifting up the lowly, filling the hungry with good things, and saying to God every day, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.